If you missed it live, don't worry. We save the best parts. This is the Drive Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Let's fire this thing up. It is a Thursday drive. Right here on WSJS News, Talk, Sports. That's our part for the Triad. I'm Will Dalton, also known as the WD. Excited, man. Just a jam-packed show. What a scene in New York City happening still right now. But earlier today, the parade. We'll get to that in a little bit. Joe Giglio of the Ovius and Giglio podcast in hour number two. Darren Gant of Panthers.com in 30 minutes. The World Cup tomorrow returns for the USA. But right now, I am in a baseball type of mood. Because it is the hoop state. Despite what anybody might try to tell you about the state of Indiana, North Carolina is the hoop state. It is. It is. But it's also the hardball state. Because we have great college baseball here. We have great minor league baseball here. And pretty soon, I think there's a very, very, very good chance we're going to have a major league team here. I do. So let's get into that, because watching this run by the Hurricanes and the way the city of Raleigh gets fired. I mean, forget the playoffs. Forget the Stanley Cup. Regular season games. You guys know what's up. You know how it goes down in the Lenny. How this fan base, the Caniacs, respond and embrace this team. And I think all of this, this entire run that led to the title, I really think it could improve and will improve the odds that our state gets a Major League Baseball team. So, first of all, I think it improves the odds because, quite frankly, it improves specifically Raleigh's bid to get this. Makes a lot of sense. Because Raleigh, their national profile has been boosted even more because of this run by the Hurricanes. A lot of eyeballs have been on the state, the city of Raleigh. And not only that, but Caniacs, you know this. The Canes are one of the most well-marketed teams in the NHL. And when they're good, and they have been for almost the last decade, 8 years straight, they made the playoffs, leading to a Stanley Cup final win. When they're good, and with the way they're marketed, this region responds, and they respond very well. The parade for the Canes happening on Saturday. Excited for that. But not only has it made Raleigh a trendy spot right now, brought a lot of attention, I think it's given credibility to the potential ownership groups that they would put together. So for starters, Tom Dundon, who took over the Canes as the majority owner in 2018 and has made the playoffs every year since. Now he's got a title. It was his decision to make Rod Brindamore the head coach for your Canes. And what a decision that was. And now he's dipping his toes into the NBA world as the owner of the Portland Trailblazers, who, in case you weren't paying attention to it, made the playoffs this year. They made the play-in tournament, and they got into the playoffs in his first year being the majority owner there. And not only that, but the way, if you listen and you read about it, they're in the Giannis sweepstakes. They actually have a pretty good offer they might make, and that'd be pretty cool. I don't know if I see that happening or not. I think he's going to go to a Boston or a team like that. I don't know if he wants to go from one small market to another small market, although it would reunite him with Drew Holiday. Dame Lillard's there, don't forget. But they are in the sweepstakes. They got some stuff that they could move to get him. But so it gives a lot of credibility, if he didn't already have a lot of credibility as it is, to Tom Dundon. But then when you look at the fact that Mark Lazary, a couple of weeks ago, another billionaire that has entered the fray and is interested in putting something together to bring an MLB team to Raleigh, that's a boost. That's juice. And you know, he and Tom Dundon could team up, make something happen. So we had a, and he's got credibility too. He had a 25% stake in the Milwaukee, speaking of Giannis, he had a stake in the Milwaukee Bucks that he sold in 2023. And he's also invested in the Carolina Courage there in Cary. So he's now in the mix. So the ownership groups, they've got even more credibility now because of the Canes title. And lastly, this state just would embrace a major league team. We love our baseball around here. We do. It's one of the hotbeds of that sport in the country. Like, listen, I came up, I played baseball from the age of 5 to 23, all the way through college, went through the travel ball circuit. You know, I've kind of gotten to see behind the scenes for a lot of this stuff, you know, which states are the most hot when it comes to producing good baseball, good talent. Florida is one. California is another. I think Texas is two. Georgia. But North Carolina is right there at the top in terms of producing talent. And that's just the player aspect of producing players. We have the great fan base here. We have a great culture of baseball here. College, minor leagues, and we have some of the most beautiful minor league parks in the entire country. Hello, Charlotte Knights. We do. And we would support, this state would embrace. Don't let anybody tell you that a major league team would not be embraced here because we don't need it. We got minor leagues. We got college. Okay? Cool. Major leagues would be embraced here. And not just by the fans. Not just by the people that live here, the citizens. Be embraced by the higher-ups that matter. Like Roy Cooper. In fact, back when Josh Graham was the host of this show several years ago, we had Roy Cooper on when he was the governor at the time, and he is very much in favor of bringing a major league team to this state. And now Josh Stein, who's in office, he is highly in favor of bringing a major league baseball team to this state. In fact, here he was the other day, now that the Canes run is complete, and again, Raleigh's a little trendy right now. Here he was talking about a major league team coming to Raleigh.
Clearly, the Triangle is a lucrative and potential market for MLB baseball, and we're going to be working to do all we can. I think that the region really showed out. The viewership on this NHL playoffs were the highest in like 7 or 8 years. People care about what happens here. One of the fastest growing metro areas in the country, 22nd largest media market, which places them at a bigger than any other potential expansion site in the country. So we're eager for this opportunity to be considered, and we'll do all we can to support it.
The Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup, it absolutely adds to the pot and adds to the likelihood that North Carolina is going to get a major league team. Absolutely. 336-777-1600. I want to hear from you, though. You're the people that live here. You're the ones. Do you think the Canes run shows that North Carolina is ready for a major league team? Do you think North Carolina is going to get one, or is it going to be a Nashville, a Salt Lake City, Portland, oddly enough? Again, Tom Dundon also owns the Trailblazers, so he could put something together out there too if he wants it bad enough. Who do you think is going to get it? 336-777-1600. I'll ask the producer of the show, Morgan Corson. Do you think we're going to get a Major League Baseball team? Do you think this helps?
I would love to see it. You name some other cities that surprise me that don't have one.
Like Nashville.
Nashville.
They seem to be the most likely.
But if they add one, they're going to add two.
Yeah, that also true. That's right.
But is that going to go to Salt Lake?
Ugh.
Because that would...
Ugh.
I would hate to see it, but they could use another team out there.
No, they don't need it.
Salt Lake, Nashville, would you put one in the Midwest? Iowa, Nebraska, they have a lot of pull for baseball too, right? Like, there's a lot of places you could put this team that has pull that doesn't have a team. Nashville, Salt Lake is an untapped market area, and so is the Midwest.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see one in Raleigh. It would be so exciting. I don't know what they name it. That'd be something fun. Let the fans like put a poll together, see what they name it. if you had to pick outside of the bowls, I mean,
that would, that's a fun conversation for another time. That's what that is. 336-777-1600. What would you name a major league team that comes to the state of Raleigh? Also, save that number because later this hour, we've got a chance for you. A chance to win some Chris Stapleton tickets. So he's going to be coming to Bank of America Stadium this weekend, Saturday. And we got a pair, just one pair. So you got to get in quick. Don't call yet. But when you hear this, Whiskey 336-777-1600. That is the number you will call later this hour when you hear that sound. Don't call yet, but you can if you want to call in and tell us what a great name would be for a major league team in Raleigh. I'd like to hear that. Darren Gant going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk some Panthers, but further proof that we're the hardball state. Let's talk about the Carolina Tar Heels, who they're in the final at Omaha for the first time since 2006, where they were runners-up, losing to Oregon State. And we know now that they're going to be facing Oklahoma, one of the hottest teams in college baseball right now. They took out Georgia last night, and it wasn't particularly close. Carolina, Oklahoma, game one of that series of a three-game best-of-three series starts Saturday, and you can listen to that right here on WSJS. We will have that for you. 7:45 coverage start on Saturday, and then for game two, 2:15 p.m. coverage start on Sunday. But getting to the matchup itself, it's College World Series title or bust for the Tar Heels. It is. Because, again, I mentioned it, first time back there since 06. But when you look at the numbers here, the data, what does it tell you? The numbers, the math. It's the 13th time they've been to Omaha in program history. 11th time this century. But this is where we narrow it down a little bit more here. They've been 9 times in the last 20 years. That's an incredible stat. It's a lot. Again, I mentioned when I was in Little League, felt like they were always going to Omaha, but never winning it. 9 times in 20 years, 2 in the last 3 under Scott Forbes. It's time. And it goes beyond just the amount of times they've been to Omaha. Let's talk about this specific year. This is the best opportunity that they've had in a long time to win it all. For one, they were in a very favorable side of the bracket. They didn't have to go through a gauntlet of the SEC, which was all that was on the other side. They had that. But also in terms of what they have, like they have one of the best pitching staffs, maybe the best in college baseball. They have an incredibly deep bullpen. So the key for them, I think, in this series is going to be striking early. If they do that, they have the pitching staff to back it up, even though they tried to give it away yesterday late in the 7th inning against West Virginia. But luckily, they had 12 runs, so they had quite a cushion. But I think they got a strike early for against Oklahoma. Carolina, they also have a level of experience in Omaha that, and forget Omaha, just the regionals, the supers, they have experience in the postseason that I don't know that Oklahoma has. Jason DeCaro, who's going to be your ace, your starter for game one Saturday night, he's been here some. Gavin Gallagher, who's one of the best bats in the country, very clutch. He's got experience at this. So when you just look at all of that, the amount of times they've been here without winning it, the great pitching staff that they have, the experience that they have, it's title or bust. But to be fair, looking at Oklahoma here, they are as hot as any team in college baseball. They're dangerous right now. And baseball's a weird game in that sense where when you catch lightning in a bottle, maybe different than any other sport, you can beat anybody on any given night.
And they showed that. Mm-hmm. They beat Georgia Tech in the regionals, your ACC regular season and tournament champion. Mm-hmm. And the Supers, they beat Kansas, the Big 12 regular season and tournament champion. And then to get to the World Series final, they beat Georgia, the SEC regular season and tournament champion. Not an easy road for them to get there, but a lot of people are counting them out because they're unranked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they'll get you because they are strong and they are hot right now.
They have. They've been proving people wrong all postseason. They have been. And this would be, if they could pull it off and beat Carolina, to play devil's advocate here, that would be the final step. 11th in the SEC they finished. 14-16. And here they sit in the title game against an incredibly deep Carolina team, but Oklahoma is as hot as anybody in college baseball. So the moral of the story is it's title or bust for Carolina, and it's going to be a terrific series, I believe. And I think it's going to go three. I think it's going to go three games.
Back to the Triad's longest-running live sports talk show, The Drive. Live, local, and not afraid to ruffle feathers.
Back at it on The Drive right here on WSJS. Gonna welcome in Darren Gant of Panthers.com in 10 minutes. See what's been happening out at minicamp as we get ready for training camp, OTAs and things like that. Be time for the preseason before you can blink an eye. But let's get into another type of football. That's actually soccer. People are, I don't know why, it's a topic of conversation right now. Is it football or is it, it's soccer around here. It's football international. That's fine. We have football. It's soccer.
Technically speaking, the English switched it from soccer to football and just essentially never told America. So we stuck with we stuck with soccer when they changed it to football. So really, we're the right ones, and they've changed it since the adaptation.
See? How cool would it be if the USA played England?
On July 4th in Philadelphia?
Correct.
Oh, I'm so hype. Mm-hmm. So hype. It'd be the best.
Yeah, it would. A lot of jokes could be made about that if it happens. We'll see what happens. But tomorrow in Seattle, by the time we get on air, USA Australia will be well underway, and this is for Group D. USA, obviously, a 4-1 beating of Paraguay a week ago tomorrow, and Australia beat Turkey 2-0. So a couple of the things that we're going to be watching, looking to have answered in this match. For one, is the USA like for real? Is what we saw offensively against Paraguay, was that because it was Paraguay, or is that because, oh, the USA's like that? What's the answer to that? We'll find out a little bit more so tomorrow. And because, I mean, again, they pounced offensively against Paraguay. The other thing is the status of Christian Pulisic. That's going to be a topic of conversation. So he suffered a calf injury against Paraguay. He's reportedly day-to-day, but that's one of the stars. That's one of the guys you need. And if he starts or not, why do you look at me like that, Morgan?
It's not good.
No, it's not good. I was like, yeah, he's a star.
No, he's up he's there. He might be the most talented soccer player to come out of America.
That's what I'm saying. And if he starts or not, that could dramatically change and alter things. So we're going to have eyes on that. And the other thing I'm curious to watch is how physical this match gets. Because there's been a little talk between the USA pundits and Australia soccer alums and USA. It's gotten a little chippy leading up to the match, which makes for great theater. I'll have my popcorn out, Michael Jackson meme style. I'll be watching. But there's been a lot of talk on both sides. So that's the three things that I go into tomorrow thinking about. Is the USA really like that offensively? Is Christian Pulisic going to be good to go and start? And how physical is this thing going to get? That's what I'm curious to watch. Very quickly, before we get to Darren Gant, what a scene in New York City earlier today. The Knicks coming down the canyon of, what is it? The Canyon of Heroes. That's it. Yeah. It's the Canyon of Heroes that they come down. And what a scene it was. What a scene. And it started early this morning at like 4 a.m. Did you see some of this stuff?
They did the parade at 4 or people lined up at 4?
People lining up the street. Go see if you can find, not you, but like if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it already, go on social media somewhere and try to find what the subway tunnels and the stairs up from the subway to the main surface looked like earlier today. It was a claustrophobic person's worst nightmare. You couldn't move.
Did you see the clip of the mailman?
No.
So in New York, they have mail wheelbarrows to get the mail around, essentially. And he had to go through all the fans gathering at the fences and stuff, and they're like parting the ways for
him. Oh, yeah.
He did not look like he was having a fun time.
I saw a Chick-fil-A delivery person.
Yeah, whoever ordered the Chick-fil-A's deserves prison. That was so bad.
No days off for delivery people, even in that debacle. But so it started early this morning, which you knew it was going to be like that. And then you got Jalen Brunson bringing the trophy up in front of everybody, just carrying it with all the Knicks with him. In fact, we got a clip, I think, from Jalen Brunson. This was at the end when they were in front of City Hall, the main stage, where they had the jerseys up around the building. Like, so instead of up in the rafters, it was like a similar concept, but it was like around City Hall. It was really cool. Here was Jalen Brunson on the Doubters.
I didn't trade this for a world. Lastly, there's a lot of people that have a lot of negative stuff to say. There's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions. But when you prove them wrong, you really don't have to, you don't have to say shit to them.
Yeah.
Nah, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
And then Tyler Cullick got stopped by police because they thought he was a fan. Which, I mean, to be fair, he does. He looks like me. So, like the hair, the same vibe. With like, imagine me or somebody that looks like me running around, getting hyped up in front of the crowd. Like, he looks like a fan. He does. But I've also seen this guy bury threes from the parking lot in garbage time when the Knicks are up by 25, 30 points. So he's very much an NBA champion now. He is. And then Carmelo, he was on a float. And I'm not going to lie to you. He was enjoying it. He was happy. But the competitor in him was still there, and you could see he wishes it was him. You can see that. Like, you could see it all over his face. So, the Knicks parade went down today in New York City. Quite a scene. Quite a scene.
Now comes the moment you have all been waiting for.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Where the biggest stories take the wheel. Welcome to The Drive.
On WSJS, as we welcome in friend of the show of Panthers.com, Darren Gant. Darren, how we doing?
What's happening, Will? How we doing? Got us a little Rick Astley.
That's it.
It's Thursday, but it's a little Friday, baby. It feels like weekend already.
It really does. It really does. Glad to have you here. And so the Panthers, they report to training camp in a little over a month. And I'm curious, as somebody who's got boots on the ground, you're in that building all the time, What's the most fascinating storyline to you as we're now a month out from camp?
Well, I can tell you one of the most fascinating things that happened this week was I'm walking through the hall, maybe on the phone, definitely not paying attention. And I got absolutely wrecked by Sir Purr. He came out of nowhere and just blindsided me in the middle of the hallway. I could hear Purr giggling the whole time afterward. I was like, I have no idea what happened. Football comes up on you fast. It's going to be interesting to me when we get to camp. I mean, A, it's a little bit of a blur. Hang on one second. Sorry about that. The phone was ringing on the other side of the wall. It's probably breaking news. This is going to be a fascinating camp for me because this is a deeper team. It's a more talented team than really I think I've experienced in some time. I mean, since, you know, the transition from Ron Rivera, Cam Newton years, this is it, man. I mean, you go through an offseason and you add a Jalen Phillips, you add a, you know, Devin Lloyd, who I think is going to be one of the most impactful players they've added this offseason. I mean, I just think having that kind of middle linebacker talent is going to raise the level for everybody. I mean, Trayvon Merrick loves having a Devin Lloyd who can back up and cover the deep middle of the field. It's just that defense is better than it's been in a long time, and that's on purpose. I mean, Dan Morgan built this thing very deliberately based on a model he knows works because he used to work in the middle of it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they develop now and how they take that step forward, you know, now that they've kind of got that talent base stabilized in a way that gets them back on par with everybody else in the NFC.
Darren Gant with us here from Panthers.com. So I was a little surprised, you know, after everything last year, everything they added in free agency, and I was very surprised to see the Panthers open up at Vegas, 6.5, 7.5 wins total in that ballpark. Why do you think that was the number? Why do you think Vegas had them there?
I don't know, but I suspect it's got a lot to do with the fact that they were 8-9 last year and get the dreaded first place schedule, which I always kind of giggle about because it's only 3 games different for everybody in the division. You know, you're playing 14 of the same team. So it's really, you know, you get Seattle instead of somebody else in the NFC West. And if you're getting Seattle or the Arizona Cardinals, that's a big difference. But if you're getting Seattle versus the Rams, I don't know that that's a difference at all. So I think that's probably most of it. There's a distrust, I think, of anybody coming out of the NFC South. It's a messy division, but we love it for the mess. It's part of the charm of this place. When you look at the way the Bucs have done business, Saints, Falcons, and the Panthers, I mean, it's always messy even when 2 or 3 of the teams at a time are really good. So I think that's probably most of it. Most of it's probably the schedule. I find that to be a little bit of a myth. In fact, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I ran them earlier this summer. Generally, the first-place schedule teams, the teams that win divisions the year before, tend to fall back about 2 games per season more than the teams that finish second who tend to go up. I mean, it only makes sense. It's easier to go down than up once you're already at the top.
Darren Gant with us here from Panthers.com. Read his stuff at Panthers.com. Saw you had something interesting you posted about Luke Kuechly. They're going through the bust process, making that happen. So a lot of Luke Kuechly coverage coming from you.
And you know what? There's more to come. Stay tuned to Panthers.com and all our affiliated channels because there's some stuff coming up I think people will dig. The Kuechlys, the family, Luke himself, this is wholesome content, baby. Who doesn't love Luke Kuechly? And we got a lot coming your way. I get a kick out of the bust process because I was able to talk to Ben Hammond, who did Sam Mills's bust a couple of years ago. And Ben's like, when I saw the list, I wanted Luke. He's like, that guy's got an interesting face. I wanted to carve that one. And he starts comparing him to people. And I loved it because, and you'll probably fall in the same category, he starts comparing him to classic Hollywood movie stars like Charlton Heston and Gregory Peck. And all the youngs I work with are like, who are those people?
Oh, I know who they are.
I'm like, have you ever seen the Ten Commandments? Maybe heard of this guy Moses.
That's it. Great movie.
To Kill a Mockingbird, maybe. These are things, you know, he eventually got to Clint Eastwood, and I think most of them kind of got to Clint. But, yeah, that's our guy. Luke's our movie star. He is one of one. But, yeah, there's a lot more where that came from, and we're going to have just going over our travel plans. I mean, we got an entire team going to Canton for enshrinement coming up in August. So stay tuned. We got a lot of good stuff coming your way.
One of the things that I'm fascinated about with this team, because, I mean, you got T-Mac. You got him at the one. He's your offensive rookie of the year. Jalen Coker just got paid. He's your two. Yep. I am fascinated about that third receiver spot because you've got Xavier Leggett, who's coming off of a rough second year, and we heard from him last week. He knows he can't have another year like that. But then you bring in John Metchie, who Bryce has a history with at Alabama. And then you draft Chris Brazel that, like Brant Tillis said, he was getting texts from executives around the league like, man, we wanted him. Like, it's a fascinating situation, that third receiver. What are some of your thoughts around that, Darren?
Well, and I tell you what, it's beyond those guys that you just named. When you look at what they were doing out there in OTAs, when T-Mac's not practicing because he had a little foot deal they were being careful with, David Moore's out there running around with the ones, and when Dave Canales has a roster without David Moore on it, I'll believe it when I see it, because he's dragged that man from Seattle to Tampa, from Tampa to Charlotte, and now he's a fixture. And David's one of those good guys to have around on your roster. I mean, he's not going to be the first pick in anybody's fantasy team. He's probably not going to catch a ton of balls, but he's here for a reason, and the reason is they trust him. But when you think about XL, when you think about Brazel, when you think about David Moore, Jimmy Horn was a guy who was starting to develop a little more of a role as last season went on. I don't know if Jimmy Horn's making the roster. I mean, they've got 8 or 9 receivers on this roster right now that you can legitimately say, I can see them carrying that guy into the season, including a couple guys, Bryson Tremaine, Dan Chisena, who are legit special teams players. I mean, both those guys, big bodies, fast, who make a difference in the kicking game. One of those guys is going to make the roster, you would think, in addition to all these things. But, yeah, I mean, Mechie's a fascinating one because, obviously, he knows Bryce. They go way back. And he's looked pretty good during the spring. But, yeah, it's a lot of guys, and that's kind of a theme throughout the whole roster. They've made the whole roster more competitive, and that's where you want it to be.
So that offensive line is very fascinating to me because, you know, you got Rashid Walker that they signed out of Green Bay. You draft Monroe Freeling, and we finally got a detailed timetable, but we learned that Ike Ekwonu is going to be back sometime this year. Right. Where do you think he could fit in, Ike, specifically when he gets back? Because if, you know, Rashid Walker plays well, and if Monroe Freeling gets in there, where do you think he could fit?
Well, I mean, he was the incumbent left tackle. So those guys usually have some degree of stickiness about them when they get hurt and come back. I think the health thing is going to be complicated because there's coming back and then there's coming back. I mean, and it depends on how the season goes. What's Walker look like? How quickly does Monroe pick things up? I mean, they've got a lot of options. I know there are people who, you know, have been wanting to make Ike a guard since he walked in the door because he's a big, powerful guy. He excels in the run game. I could see that. I think it's good to have options. I mean, I have been around this team when Matt Willig, who was a star of the latest Star Wars movie, was starting at left tackle. So the fact that you're sitting here talking about what to do with Ike when he comes back versus Monroe Freeling versus Rashid Walker, I mean, Rashid was a good bit of business because he came on a cheap one-year deal. You know, depending on the health, I mean, if Ike came back and he was 100% Ike, you've got options there. And if you've got plenty of left tackles, there are going to be plenty of teams in the NFL who are probably going to call you. But I think, you know, I want to pump the brakes a little bit. I want to wait and see what Ike looks like because we've seen time and again with those guys who tear that patella tendon. And unfortunately for him, it was late in the year so that he's, you know, if it's a one-year timetable, you're talking about a guy who might come back deeper. But We just don't know that yet, and Icky doesn't know that yet. That's the problem with this one. I know everybody wants to know the when, but even the people who are involved in this process can't really know, because until he starts getting out there on the field with people pushing and pulling on him and having to redirect with that leg, we're not going to know how healthy he actually is.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, making a little time for us today. Last thing for you on the way out, Bryce Young. So he's going into a year where he's playing to get paid. Had a really nice year last year, led the Panthers to the playoffs, the division title, and went toe-to-toe with Matt Stafford in that wild card game against the Rams. What do you think the Panthers would like to see additionally from him to make them comfortable enough to give him that extension? What more do you think they want to see?
You know, do it more consistently. I mean, continue to build. I mean, every year has been doing like this for Bryce Young, and he's gotten to a pretty good place. I mean, he's starting to, you know, I don't know that based on this trajectory. I mean, what do you think the expectations are for a number one overall pick? People always think they got to be up here. I think what Bryce has proven last year and what he can continue to build on is that he can be one of those guys like a Baker Mayfield, like a Sam Darnold, some of those guys who are kind of in the middle of the league who you can win with. And if you're a win with, that's one thing. Win because ofs get paid, you know, $60 million plus. And, you know, Josh Allen, Bryce Young, not same thing. I don't know that those two will ever be in the same conversation. But I think what we learned about Bryce last year was he's got that vibe. He's got that late game thing that allows them to have some success in fourth quarters and in December. So I think that's a good thing. He's just got to continue to build on it, continue to get more consistent, continue to get comfortable with parts around him. Because, listen, they have still built this thing to be a comfortable place for a quarterback because they have invested so heavily in offensive linemen. They do have Chuba Hubbard and Jonathan Brooks behind him, who looks like a guy who's going to make a lot more of an impact this year. You know, they've got receivers stacked up all over the place, like we were talking about earlier in this segment. I mean, the situation is set up for Bryce to have some success, and I think you just want to see him continue to build at the same rate he showed last year.
All right, Darren, what's the next thing we need to be looking for at Panthers.com? What's coming? What's coming out soon?
That's not a very good tease. If I told you what it was, then everybody would know. That would take away maybe the phone call I just took was the secret to all that. So let me check my voicemail and I'll let you know. But I do think there is something cool coming your way this weekend. We will keep you posted. All things Luke Kuechly, all things off season. You never know. Could be a surprise or two. Maybe I'll go cover the World Cup for a couple of days. I don't know. I saw Thomas Nkum walking through yesterday with a Ghana flag draped over his shoulders like a cape. So people are feeling it.
They are. We loving the World Cup around here. Darren Gant.
That's right. Go USA, baby.
That's right. Go USA and go Darren Gant. Panthers.com, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll do it again here sometime soon.
Sounds good. See you, Will.
There he goes. Darren Gant, Panthers.com. Well, that can only mean one thing. Good tunes. I hate Darren Gant missed that. He likes some good tunes. 336-777-1600. That's the number to call to go see Chris Stapleton at the place that Darren Gant works at. Oddly enough, Bank of America Stadium. Call in now. Looks like the lines are already starting to get lit. Chris Stapleton. It's the All-American Roadshow. Saturday night. Special guests, Lainey Wilson, Alan Stone. These are big hitters, big names. I'm a little jealous I'm not going to get to go. A little bit. Shout out to our winner, whoever Morgan's talking to there. On the other line, man, just looking at some of this coverage of the Knicks and their parade, looks like a lot of fun. It really does. Can't wait for the Canes, their parade on Saturday. And saw Timothy Chalamet. Of course, he's on one of the floats. You got that. Ben Stiller, who is filming a documentary about this Knicks team on his phone. He's been posting stuff about that, and it's legit. Saw him in a bus somewhere. I didn't see Spike Lee. I assume Spike was out there somewhere. Because, like, that is the face of Nick fandom. Like, it's Spike Lee. Period. Bottom line. End of story. I do have an issue with Carmelo Anthony's hat. If you've seen it on social media, it's half the logo on the front of the cap. It's half Yankee logo, half Met logo. That is sacrilege. Melo, what are we doing? I mean, I get it. You're repping the city and everything, but brother, Yankees, Mets, ain't they ain't the same thing. They play in the same city. They ain't the same thing. I don't like that.
So the phone lines are still coming lit in for these Chris Stapleton ticket.
That's it.
I did have our winner, Chip.
Shout out to Chip. So
shout out, Chip. But if you want a chance to go, go online to WSJS.com. We have a chance for you to win Sunnyside Wins. Craig Morgan, Neil McCoy, Chris Stapleton, as well as Treaty Oak Revival. Check out there for another chance to win those Stapleton tickets.
Sports talk for people who yell at the TV. You're on The Drive, the Triad's longest-running live sports talk show.
Back at it on The Drive, right here on WSJS, where to wrap up hour number one, we very quickly get to Dalton's Dollars.
It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
Oh, yeah. 4-0. That's what the bets did. 4-0. Undefeated. Bad weekend. Really bad. But we got it going. We figured it out. And it's what you got to do sometimes. You just got to step away. Go in the man cave or woman cave, if you like to bet too. And just shut the door and contemplate. Just that's what you got to do. So here's the four bets that we handed out. Coming out of a weekend where our record was 33-36. Phillies money line against the Marlins. That cashed.
Show me the money!
Garrett Cole to have six or more strikeouts against the Chicago White Sox. He had six on the dot.
Show me the money!
Yankees money line again said White Sox. They handled that.
Show me the money!
And then in that game, Argentina, the one that Messi had the hat trick. In fact, we'll get the Spanish Telemundo call on that here in just a minute. Had over 2.5 goals for the total on that one. Hat trick was the three that were scored.
Show me the money!
So that was our bets for Tuesday night. So that puts us a game over 500. 37-36. I am going to take a look at the USA, Australia, because that's a 3:00 start tomorrow in Seattle. So we'll be on air an hour after that start. So let's go ahead and place the bet now. I'm going to take the US of A to win that at minus 165 odds.
Show me the money!
Going to do that. And then looking at the total for the goals, I'm going to go over 2.5 goals here at minus 105.
Show me the money!
Going to do that. And then in terms of the baseball tonight, Toronto Blue Jays taking on the ball. Actually, that game's already in the book, so I can't bet that one. Angels Athletics. I hate it when that happens. It's already a day game, so I can't bet on it. And I don't get to the bets till late afternoon. Angels Athletics. 9:40 first pitch, so you better believe it. You better believe I can get in on that one. I think moneyline, I mean, the A's, they've beaten the Angels 3 times in 4 meetings already this season, so, you know.
Show me the money!
We're just going to ride with Sacramento on that one. Going to do that. Cardinals, they take on the Royals later today. Cardinals, they're a better offensive team. They're averaging 4.6 runs per game compared to the Royals, who only average 4. So, I'm going to take the Cardinals money line.
Show me the money!
That's what I'm going to do. And then on principle, I have to take the Yankees money line. So, they're playing
Show
the White Sox.
Show me the money!
Got the White Sox again. Do that. Who's on the mound tonight for the Yankees? Who's on the mound? Ryan Weathers. Nah, we'll just leave it alone. So that's what we got. A's money line, Yankees money line, Cardinals money line, over 2.5 goals between USA and Australia. USA to win tomorrow. 5 of them on the table. Yeah. Fired up, man.
Will Dalton is talking sports like a mic is hot and a boss is gone. The Drive, the Triad's only live sports talk show.
Back at it on The Drive, right here on WSJS, as we keep trucking along on a Thursday. We welcome in Joe Giglio now of the Ovius and Giglio podcast, and I'm sure he's much more celebratory than the last time we chatted a couple of weeks ago. Giglio, what's happening, man?
Hey, buddy. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. There's nobody else I'd want to talk to this week. Carolina Hurricanes getting it done, of course. When you look back on this run, winning the Stanley Cup, second one in the franchise's history, what's an element that's going to stick out to you that you remember most?
Well, there's two things. I would say Jordan Staal and his scoring. The previous 4 years, the captain had scored a total of 6 goals. In this playoffs, he scored 8. And he had 6 in the Stanley Cup final alone. It's like, where did this magic scoring come from? But it came at the exact right time for the Carolina Hurricanes once they were down 2-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights. So that's spectacular. Then the goaltending, you know, I know Brandon Bussey did a lot of the heavy lifting during the regular season, but to go 53 days between starts and for his first postseason action to be in the third period of game 3 of the Stanley Cup final is remarkable. And then for the way that he played, especially in game 6, I thought he was just off the charts in game 6. And not to be outdone, Frederik Andersen in those first 3 rounds, he quite frankly wasn't very good during the regular season, and he found a form that I didn't think he still had, and one that was spectacular and really helped carry the Hurricanes through the 3 rounds.
Well, and to your point right there, I was listening to Rod Brendamore. He was on with Rich Eisen yesterday and Pat McAfee, and he was talking about the goaltending, and he even said like the game plan was to switch in the playoffs between those guys, and then Freddie Andersen just took off. It was just insane.
Yeah, Freddie was handling the puck and playing with a lot of confidence. Quite frankly, WD, at a level that I had not seen him play at. Never mind this season, just throughout his tenure here with the Carolina Hurricanes. So that was something, you knew something different was happening there, just the way that he was handling the puck. At the end of the regular season, Brandon Bussey was really kind of fighting the puck. And I for one, did not expect to see him in the first game of the playoffs. I really didn't expect to see him in the first round after the Hurricanes had swept or were, you know, in the process of sweeping. I was slightly surprised that we didn't see him in the Montreal series, in part because of what Frederik Andersen had gone through with the suicide of Claude Lemieux and that loss for him, that emotional loss for him. I thought he kind of, we know Freddie has had an expiration date and he wears down. So that didn't necessarily surprise me. What did, though, was to be on ice for 53 days and to come in and play the way that Brandon Bussey did was, you can't even make that stuff up in a movie. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Joe Giglio with us here on WSJS from the Ovius and Giglio podcast. So as somebody who has covered sports in the state for a long time, especially in that area and the Triangle, Is there anything that feel, because there's a lot of parallels between the 06 title and this one. Obviously, Brenda Moore is like at the center of it, but you had Eric Staal in that one. You got Jordan Staal in this one. What maybe feels different about this run and then that one?
This run was more of a vindication. You know, they make the playoffs 8 years in a row. We've heard so much about Rod Brindamore's system and the way that they play, how aggressive they are with the forecheck and their puck possession and really just trying to outwork everybody. And we've heard so much about their analytics, you know, obviously led by general manager Eric Tolsky. And that needed to be validated. You know, making the playoffs every year is good. Making the Eastern Conference Finals three times is good. But you still need to make that next step. And not only did they make it, but they made it emphatically with a 16-3 run through the Stanley Cup playoffs, which hadn't been done, I believe, since Gretzky's Oilers in 85. So it's kind of hard to believe the company that they put themselves in without that type of talent. You know, my biggest question about the Hurricanes right up until game five of the Stanley Cup final was, are they talented enough to win this thing? And when Mitch Marner's out there getting a hat trick and doing all the things he was doing in game three, you think to yourself, well, Vegas just has a little bit better talent and a little bit better skill than the Carolina Hurricanes. That's where the magic of Staal comes in. You know, he had more goals in these playoffs than he did two of his regular seasons with the Carolina Hurricanes. Think about that. Like, that's crazy. And obviously he has been through a lot in his 14 years here, but that's still kind of crazy. So you can analytically tell me all the things that you want, but I guess what I'm getting at is even your analytics couldn't tell you that Jordan Staal was going to do what he was going to do, which gets back to the kind of the human element, the worker, the leader, embracing the moment, going back to, you know, he put his name on the Stanley Cup in 2007 when he was, or 2009 when he was 20 years old. So it's a different part of his journey as well, but he really, you know, he earned the Conn Smythe, that's for sure.
Joe Giglio with us here on WSJS. So something that's still crazy to me. So I was listening to Matt Murley. There was a clip of him out there. I think he's of the Spittin' Chicklets podcast and that whole world. But he was literally asking the question, does it put an asterisk on the Canes chip because they didn't have to beat the Florida Panthers, a team that finished seventh in the standings in the East, which is just wild to me that we're going there. Why do you think it kills the national hockey world to give the Canes their credit, even after winning this championship as definitively as they did?
Yeah, the Florida thing I don't get. They didn't make the playoffs. They weren't healthy enough to make the playoffs. So that's a weird take. There were three teams that I thought the Hurricanes would have trouble with or lose to in Montreal, Tampa Bay, and Colorado. They beat Montreal after a nice adjustment by Rod Brindamore in game one. I thought they were kind of out-schemed, and he made the right adjustment, which to his eternal credit, and then they smoked them after the game two, after Nick Ehlers saved them in game two in overtime, right? Mm-hmm. Games three and games four, they really took care of business. But they didn't play Tampa. They didn't play Tampa. Had the MVP of the league. They had the goalie of the year, the Vezina Trophy winner. So obviously Tampa is more talented than the Carolina Hurricanes, but they couldn't beat Montreal. That's not the Carolina Hurricanes' fault. And then Colorado was the President's Trophy winner. There hasn't been a President's Trophy winner win the Stanley Cup since 2014 or 15. It's turned into something of a curse. I think Colorado inarguably has more talent than the Carolina Hurricanes, but they couldn't beat the Vegas Golden Knights. The Carolina Hurricanes did. So there's no asterisk necessary. It's okay to be of the mind that the Hurricanes had an easier path than most, even Stanley Cup championship teams or even the other teams in the East, because Montreal had to beat Tampa. Then they had to beat Buffalo, who was the other team that would have given me pause if the Hurricanes had to play them. But the Hurricanes earned their path, the Ottawa-Philly path, by finishing with the best record in the East. So you can't really dispute that part of it either. I just think people look at the Hurricanes. They don't see a 40-goal scorer. They don't see a 100-point player. And on this year's team, they didn't even have a point-per-game player. And they look at that and they go, well, how do you win? And then you think to yourself, well, you have to have a crazy, unbelievable goalie. And they didn't, you know, Bussey's performance in the Stanley Cup final notwithstanding, they didn't really have that either, at least not a Marty Brodeur or Patrick Waugh, someone of that ilk, Sergei Bobrovsky. So I think it's hard for people who don't really follow the Hurricanes to wrap their brain around how they win, and that effort actually is a skill, and that's what the Hurricanes have an abundance of.
Joe Giglio with us here on WSJS. Very quickly, because I know you got to run. After this run as a player, as a coach, do you think Rod Brind'Amour has cemented himself in the Mount Rushmore of North Carolina sports figures?
Yeah, I put him there after we lost Mike Krzyzewski. And I kept saying at the time, we're going to want to make this a basketball coach. But the truth is, our next great coach is already here, and it's Rod Brind'Amour. And a lot of people said to me, well, he's got to win something. And I was like, well, okay. Making the playoffs 8 years, but at the time, 6 or 7 years in a row is not easy, especially when you look at the Hurricanes franchise history. And, you know, having the success in the playoffs that he's had is not easy. Well, I get he has not won the ultimate prize. As I said, you know, you asked about the similarities between 06 and 26. Well, here's one difference. When they won it, it felt like a one-off. It felt like kind of a little bit of a magic in a bottle. The way that the Hurricanes are positioned, thanks to Eric Tulsky, I would not be shocked if they won another one of these in the next 3 years. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they won three of these things. Like, it's they would need to get a few breaks, but it also implies that you don't think Eric Tulsky, who's rolled the dice on every possible move out there, isn't going to make another move. And all of it kind of is contingent upon keeping Rod Brind'Amour, though. Let's keep that in mind. You know, I was talking about this yesterday on Ovias and Chilio, that while Rod's only 55, he's not someone like Krzyzewski or Dean or Roy that's going to do this for 20, 25 years. He's someone who really wanted to accomplish what he did. And now I could see him either saying, okay, let's see what we can do while we have this core. I could also see him in the next 2 to 3 years saying, I've had enough and I want to do something else. And we could all thank him for that. But yeah, no, you're absolutely on the right track that Rod Brind'Amour is the best coach that we have. And I said that even before the Stanley Cup. Now, of course, when you want to be one of those greats like Dean, Roy, Kay, you got to do it multiple times.
Joe Giglio, the Ovias and Giglio podcast. Check out their YouTube channel. New stuff comes out every single day. Giglio, we appreciate the time. Go Canes, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Thank you, WD, and pardon my gravelly voice.
There he goes. Hey, he's got a podcast. He's been doing a lot of talking, spreading the knowledge around. That's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
By the way, gee, thanks for the contribution. That's good. Is that why we pay you to say, yeah? You went to cook. Jeez Louise, I'm just throwing my notes around into the microphone. You went to cookout today for lunch.
I did, yes.
And you tried the Cajun fries, right?
No.
Because you didn't have a good first experience with cookout fries.
No, because I asked for a corn dog, they rung me up for a grilled cheese and gave me French fries, which makes no sense.
That's chaos.
I didn't remember. I knew that you, when we talked about this last time, you said you got to give them a second chance. You didn't want them.
You do that.
So I didn't remember if you wanted me to get the Cajun fries or the regular fries.
Yes, you get the Cajun fries.
I got the regular fries. And they were all right, but I put them in the cookout sauce. Get cookout sauce.
See, I must say, I didn't know cookout sauce was a thing.
The color is sus. It's a bright orange, like or more like a rusty color.
Okay, I follow.
It's spectacular. It's good stuff. It's got a little bit of like a tang to it, like a Duke's mayo, but like doled down. It's quite delicious. So I dipped it in that, had a burger. Normally I get a healthier lunch if I need to eat out because I slept in a little too much today, but treat myself today.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that you didn't get the Cajun fries.
Yeah, no, I messed up. I'll have to get those next time.
But I mean, the fact that the fries are not as crispy, they're a little softer. Because I got a cookout tray on Sunday night to celebrate the Canes win. And like I had a, they were soft, you know. That's but that's what you do. You like curl them up, and you can bunch them together and eat a whole handful of them at the same time.
I like crunchy fries more. That's just my preference.
They both
I can
have
see
their
place. The appeal. They do have their place, but they weren't bad. They weren't my favorite. But the cookout sauce brought them up a tier. So get the cookout sauce if you go.
I guess I'm gonna have to try it.
And the cheese bites. Try the cheese bites.
I haven't had those yet either.
It's just deep fried white cheddar. And breaded.
Oh.
It's quite delicious.
Sounds like it.
It's real good.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good. I've been enjoying watching the adventures of the 2016 Cavs team on Instagram. Are you aware of this?
You mean the ones that Kyrie ghosted?
Yes.
Then yes, I've seen that.
So LeBron and the gang from 2016. It's LeBron...
J.R. Smith.
J.R., Tristan Thompson, Richard Jefferson, Kevin Love, and Channing Frye. And they're on like a Scotland golf retreat right now, apparently with three helicopters on standby just to take them wherever.
Good time to do it. They're all in America with soccer, so good time to take a foreign trip, I guess.
And I've been thoroughly enjoying, like if that was a documentary, if that was like a series, I'd binge it. That, because apparently that's like their old group chat from that team that they still have. So it's like the group chat all gets together. It's fun. It was a good run for that Cavs team. I enjoyed watching that back in the day.
Speaking of the Scottish, did you see that Boston is running out of beer right now? Because they're drinking them out of beer.
Because of the Scottish.
Yes.
Okay.
The Scottish fans have decided to make camp in Boston, and they're running out. Like, they're out of it.
That doesn't surprise
me. It doesn't either. Boston was not prepared. And they've, the news channel there in Boston's interviewing the bar owners and stuff, and they're like, we've had to triple our order for day to day.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.